holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. Many years ago, Pastor Jerry Wilkins, and Jerry, I don't know, I haven't heard from you in many years. I don't know if you're still with us. And also Pastor Ralph Abernathy had told me about the reasons they left the organization with Martin Luther King. And what they told me was that they said that everything was on the up and up. With Martin Luther King, everything was legitimate. It was, you know, the Lord's work, evangelizing, reaching people, freedom. It was all straight up until the communists came in. And when the communists came in, they brought the young women and the drugs. And I said, well, who were the communists? And they both told me Jesse Jackson. In fact, Ralph Abernathy said Martin Luther King used to say to Jesse Jackson, you got to stop that lying, boy. You got to stop that lying. And so, anyhow, they said when they brought in, and of course, the quickest thing to take a man down today, I don't think there's any bigger weapon can be used to take a man down, even a man of God, okay? And this is why men of God have to be really, really careful not to even be found alone with a woman that they don't know. And so here they said when they brought them in that these young girls brought him down, and then they brought the drugs. They had the parties. And from what I was told, that Jesse Jackson was kind of like a double agent working for both, you know. The FBI at one point, they wanted, because of what was going on, they saw what was going on too. And of course, the FBI is corrupt at that time. They wanted Martin Luther King they gave him an opportunity. We're going to expose everything and your legacy is going to go down. And the best thing you could do is, you know, commit suicide. This is what was being said back then. And, of course, we reported on this years and years ago, you know, before he was assassinated. We knew about that. But anyhow, there is a clip that we have here. And we'll go ahead and this is one that's just recently come out. It's making its rounds, but go ahead and I can't say that every single thing is absolute, but I can tell you most of it is, yeah. What do you think, Randall?
Yeah.
And so, what about Styles? Let's see what Styles got.
No, there's definitely some valid concerns about the actual character of Martin Luther King Jr., for sure.
So, well, it wasn't before, you know, like I told you, these guys told me that they had been with him from the very beginning. It was the three of them started, and then they said the change came so rapidly, okay, when Justin brought the women, the young girls in. But go ahead and play the clip.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Robert Kennedy made that stunning announcement, followed by a beautiful impromptu speech as he campaigned for president in 1968. His words are memorialized by this sculpture of the two men reaching out to one another. And exactly 2 months later, RFK himself would be assassinated. But what no one in the audience knew, and what few people in the world knew, was that Kennedy had previously approved a massive surveillance campaign against Martin Luther King, including wiretaps of his home, office, hotel rooms, and colleagues. And as information from those tapes continue to come out, they contain some explosive allegations. According to recently uncovered FBI documents, the most shocking charge is that King himself looked on and encouraged another preacher as he raped a woman in a hotel room. And if you think politics today is extreme, you're going to be blown away by how this story unfolds between King and the FBI. I'm talking communist spies, break-ins, murder, orgies, and the U.S. government actually trying to get Martin Luther King to kill himself. It's wild. What I learned is disturbing on a number of levels. So why on earth did the Kennedy administration wiretap and follow Martin Luther King and his associates? After all, the Kennedys were solid supporters of civil rights, and publicly they supported King himself. It all started with the fight against communism. And it's important to understand the times as well as the power and role of the FBI. When J. Edgar Hoover took over the agency in 1924, he turned it into one of the most effective law enforcement machines anywhere. The FBI pioneered things like fingerprinting, forensic science, and criminal profiling. It set a gold standard in solving crime. And you can't really separate the FBI from Hoover himself. He took over the agency when he was just 29 years old, and he ruled it for 48 years until he died in 1972. And during much of that time, America was in the midst of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and they were a formidable adversary. That fight was at the heart of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the world has never come closer to nuclear war than the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. The threat was real, and communists infiltrated the U.S. government and cultural spheres, from spies to Hollywood influencers. Hoover's crusade against communism was important for the country's national security, although we'll see at times it veered into the realm of obsession and corruption. The FBI collected an enormous amount of surveillance on enemies, as well as on politicians and other powerful people in the country. Hoover used those secret files to not only fight communists, but to maintain his own power as FBI director. Everyone, including presidents, were fearful of being targeted by Hoover. One of those targets was this man, Stanley Levison, a lawyer from New York and also one of the Communist Party's top financiers in the 1950s. The Communist Party was somewhat influential in the United States during the 1930s, although that lessened as the Cold War with the Soviets heated up in the 50s. Levison publicly supported the party at first, but in 1956 started hiding his involvement. That was also the same year he met a young Martin Luther King and became one of his closest friends and advisors. Levison negotiated business deals for King. He prepared his tax returns. He even co-wrote a draft of King's famous I Have a Dream speech. In 1962, when the Kennedys learned of that relationship and Levison's past, they sent King, who'd now become a national leader, numerous warnings through various messengers. When King rebuffed them all, Robert Kennedy, as Attorney General, approved the FBI wiretapping of Levison's office. Later that year, when King was employing another man with ties to communists, the Kennedy administration freaked out a little bit more and stepped up the surveillance. And finally, when a wiretap picked up King referring to Levison as his friend and saying that he'd resume connections once things cooled off, that pushed the Kennedys into wiretapping King's home and office. Now, ironically, throughout all of the wiretappings and informants and everything else, there's absolutely nothing to imply that King sympathized with communists. It was the opposite. He called it an alien philosophy contrary to the civil rights movement. But soon, the FBI wouldn't be focusing on communist ties anymore. They'd be focusing on sex. The Bureau expanded its electronic surveillance to King's hotel rooms on the road and had at least two of his employees working as paid informants. They tracked his flights and they monitored his associates. And they learned about a lot of sex. Now, King was married and a reverend, but the FBI records show numerous recordings of him having affairs, multiple sex partners, and even taking part in orgies. As this surveillance continued, Hoover's personal feelings towards King grew into hatred, and the FBI's role changed from gathering information to discrediting and harassing King. That campaign was part of a broader one called COINTELPRO, which targeted people and groups the FBI considered a threat to national security. Some of the Bureau's activity was clearly illegal, and they were working to infiltrate, discredit, and disrupt political organizations inside the United States. These included the Communist Party, the KKK, the Black Panther Party, and others. The FBI would sow discord in the groups through psychological warfare, spreading misinformation, creating fake documents, or sending anonymous letters to get people paranoid. They used legal means sometimes. Sometimes they sparked IRS audits. Sometimes they did petty things like setting off fire alarms. The Bureau also likely arranged the killing of Fred Hampton, a Black Panther leader, as well as another Panther. An FBI informant had actually drugged Hampton the night before a planned raid. Police fired over 100 rounds, and Hampton was shot at close range in his bed. Now, with Dr. King, the Bureau's goal was to expose and ruin him, and the sex tapes were their weapon. The most infamous tactic they used was a suicide letter. The letter was written and sent by Assistant FBI Director William Sullivan, who headed the campaign against King within the Bureau. He sent a best-of audio tape of King's sexual activities and included a letter as if it was from a disillusioned black supporter. It told King to listen to his adulterous acts and sex orgies and evil playmates, then suggested that he should kill himself by Christmas or the information would be leaked. Now, for many years, all of this stayed secret. The FBI had tried to plant stories on King's behavior in newspapers, but none of them took the bait. It was a different time then, and things like that just didn't get reported, which was fortunate for both King and the Kennedys. And as crazy as all this seems, here's where the story takes another bizarre turn. On March 8, 1971, Muhammad Ali faced off against Joe Frazier. They called it the fight of the century, and it was truly one of the biggest events in sports history. Pretty much everyone was watching or listening to it, which is why a group of eight activists chose that night to break into a small two-man FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania.
In other news, the FBI is reported preparing to shut down some of the 500 small agencies it maintains around the country because of security reasons. Last month, more than 1,000 documents were stolen from the FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania.
They called themselves the Citizens Commission to investigate the FBI, and they rightly believed the Bureau was overstepping its bounds and infringing on American citizens' rights. The burglars, who were never caught or punished, although they did come out later, stole over 1,000 classified documents, and their gamble paid off. They actually found documents that exposed COINTELPRO. They mailed them to news outlets, but only one of them, the Washington Post, verified them and eventually ran a front-page story. It set off a national scandal. This wasn't just an overreach by the FBI. It was evidence that the government was willing to shred the Constitution in the name of national security. The scandal helped kick off the Church Committee, a Senate task force that conducted extensive investigations into the intelligence activity of the FBI, CIA, and NSA. It led to some significant reforms and, ironically, led to the discovery and exposure of many recordings of Martin Luther King. In 1977, U.S. District Judge John Lewis Smith ordered that all electronic surveillance of King be taken out of the FBI's hands and given to the National Archives. It was to be sealed and then made public after 50 years. But King's sexual encounters didn't come to light because of the FBI, but because of his best friend, Reverend Ralph Abernathy. By all accounts, Abernathy was King's closest confidant and the man he named as his successor. Yet in his 1989 book, And the Walls Came Tumbling Down, Abernathy gave a sobering account of King's final night before being assassinated. He wrote that King was intimate with two different women that night, and then a jealous third woman came by in the morning and an argument escalated into an assault. Abernathy wrote that King knocked her across the bed, and for a moment they were in a full-blown fight, with Martin clearly winning. Civil rights leaders went hard after Abernathy, but he never backed down. Now, I couldn't find an electronic version of this book anywhere on the internet, so I did take some pictures of those relevant pages, and I've linked to them down below. Later, tapes released of First Lady Jackie Kennedy after her death also contained some startling comments.
Then he told me of a tape that the FBI had of Martin Luther King when he was here for the Freedom March. And he said this with no bitterness or anything. How he was calling up all these girls and arranging for a party of men and women, I mean, sort of an orgy in the hotel and everything.
Martin Luther King?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. At first he said, oh, you know, and I said, oh, but Jack, that's so terrible. I mean, that man is, you know, such a phony man. I just can't see a picture of Martin Luther King without thinking, you know, that man's terrible.
But years later, as documents were released surrounding President Kennedy's assassination, some of the MLK records evidently accidentally slipped into the National Archives website, and they sat there for 2 years. Enter a man named David Garrow. He's a serious writer and historian who's concentrated on the civil rights era. His 1986 book on King, Bearing the Cross, took him a decade to write and won the Pulitzer Prize. He's also written one of the most definitive biographies of President Obama. Garrow spent weeks poring through tens of thousands of documents. Many were internal memos or summaries of the FBI tapes, and they were stunning. The FBI records from many of the wiretaps, interviews, and surveillance shows that they believed that King had been sexually involved with at least 40 women, including prostitutes. He had threesomes, foursomes, and more. When his wife, Coretta King, told her husband he wasn't fulfilling his marital responsibilities, FBI notes say that King told her she should go out and have some sexual affairs of her own. The FBI files also include allegations that famed baseball player Don Newcomb told the FBI that King had fathered a child with his relative, King's longtime girlfriend in Los Angeles. But the most shocking notes are the allegations of what happened in a hotel room in 1964. King and his colleagues were staying in the historic Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C., near the White House. The FBI placed transmitters and lamps in two of the rooms, and then set up surveillance teams with receivers and tape recorders in nearby rooms. In the second bugged room was Logan Kearse, a Baltimore pastor, civil rights leader, and King's friend. The FBI summary says that Kearse had brought to Washington several women parishioners of his church. The group met in his room and discussed which women among the parishioners would be suitable for natural or unnatural sex acts. When one of the women protested that she did not approve of this, the Baptist minister immediately and forcibly raped her. On that type summary, Deputy Director Sullivan, or one of his aides, had added in handwriting that King looked on, laughed, and offered advice. Now, that's not a minor allegation. Critics have come out and said this proves nothing. These aren't audio tapes, they're not official transcripts, and they're just notes from an agency that absolutely hated King. And that's a good point to consider. I've gone through hundreds of pages of those records, and they're pretty clearly internal documents, not something designed for public consumption. And Garrow makes the point that in the 1960s, no one in the FBI would have imagined that these notes would have ever seen the light of day. That doesn't prove they're correct, of course. But years later, they were reviewed again by the Bureau. According to Garrow, without question, Sullivan and his aides had both the microphone-transmitted tape recording and a subsequent full transcript at hand while they were annotating their existing typescript. In 1977, Justice Department's investigators would publicly attest to how their own review of both the tapes and the transcript showed them to be genuine and accurate. The FBI reports continued on to say that the next night at the Willard Hotel, King was part of an orgy with about a dozen people. Quote, when one of the women shied away from engaging in an unnatural act, King and several of the men discussed how she was to be taught and initiated in this respect. King told her that to perform such an act would, quote, help your soul. Now, an unnatural act can probably mean a whole lot of things, but according to FBI notes, quote, King announced that he preferred to perform unnatural acts on women and that he had started the International Association for the Advancement of Eaters. Garrow wrote that anyone familiar with King's often bawdy sense of humor would not doubt that quotation. When Garrow wrote up these allegations in 2019, when Me Too was in full swing, the media reaction was, well, let's just say it was restrained. Multiple outlets rejected it. After it was published, most ignored it completely. Others made sure to pack in their stories with doubtful historians rather than seeking actual facts. The New York Times did that, and also dredged up a time when Garrow lost his temper and allegedly grabbed a woman's wrist 20 years beforehand. The paper even found a feminist to say that exposing King's female companions was sexist in and of itself. Ultimately, we should hear the whole truth in January of 2027, which isn't that far away. Those audio tapes are scheduled to be released in full. Given King's popularity, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a legal challenge somehow, but that's where things stand now. And to be clear, King's popularity is entirely justified. When I told a good friend of mine about the topic of this video, he was like, "Why would you want to do that?" And it was a good question. I don't take pleasure in tearing down our heroes. None of us should. Of course, it also makes us ask, if these charges are true, should he be our hero? How do we evaluate flawed people? We've recently seen a reckoning with the flawed lives of many celebrated Americans. Statues and monuments to leaders and former presidents like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington were removed by governments or torn down by mobs, not for their political acts, but for what we now see as their personal moral shortcomings. Should Dr. King be put in that category? Should disgraceful private acts negate the public good that someone's done? Maybe the real takeaway here is that even our most admired heroes are imperfect human beings. Despite their failings, the founding fathers, including Dr. King, dedicated themselves to building a better world, and that seems worth celebrating.
Alrighty, we're back, and so, Style, you've always got commentary. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of credibility to a lot of that. I think at the end there, his summarization of, you know, how do we look at somebody who's been so idolized throughout history as the person they are? And I think that really defeats the whole point of this argument, is we need to stop looking at people as one-dimensional people. We can acknowledge that Martin Luther King did amazing things while also acknowledging he was a human that had some pretty severe flaws. They mentioned people like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's my favorite president of all time. I think he was absolutely brilliant, especially for the time, even outside of his presidency. We can talk about the list of inventions that were patented by Thomas Jefferson, but he was a slave owner who openly spoke against owning slaves. That's a serious issue.
But yeah, but with Jefferson, when he gave his slaves freedom, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay there with him.
But that's beside the point. He still owned slaves. If they wanted to stay or go, that's a separate issue. But my point is, people can do good things without being the known for the only good thing they do. Just because someone does something that's good or very good or to an extreme extent like Martin Luther King Jr., that doesn't make them, by association, an untouchable person who can't also do bad things.
Well, you know, if you're going to talk about people that do bad things, out of all the men that walked the earth, there's only one that was perfect. Okay?
Right, right.
And so everybody, you know, I know a number of godly men who were brought down by women. That's the one thing that'll bring you down quicker than anything else. And it's mostly, we did a radio program. I did a radio program one time. And from here in Ohio, we had a pastor's wife, and she came in on the program, and she was a very attractive woman. And here she was telling me that her husband had, she was in love with him, and he was in jail, in prison, because 10 different women in the church had accused him of seducing them. But the thing of it is they didn't know that he had seduced them until they had gone to these social welfare workers. And it's the social welfare workers convinced these women that, and by the way, there was a victim's fund, too. If you were a victim, they were eligible for, I think at that time it was like $50,000 or something. But anyhow, and so this woman was on the program with me, and she said that these women actually came to her husband, and she admitted he'd slept with them, but she said he didn't go after them, they went after him, and apparently he was a very charismatic, one of these very charismatic people. But that is very difficult today, especially for young pastors. When I was a young pastor, I had a woman come to me, and she was a witch. She came out of a witch covenant, and she got saved. Her brother led her to the Lord, and she came to tell me, to warn me that I was on a list of that somewhere along the line a woman was going to come and try to seduce me. She was going to be like a Christian lady. Well, that they got to a couple of friends of mine, okay, and that was years and years ago. But they did that, and they still, from what I understand, have a big witch covenant there in Mentor, Ohio, from what I understand. So you have that, but all we have to do is look back throughout the Bible, and, you know, what brought all the good men down? women. The weaker sex, might be, the weaker vessel is weaker in one way, but not in every way. And of course, that's why the devil didn't directly confront Adam. He knew Adam had the authority to take his head off, okay? So he had to find Adam's weak spot, and that was Eve. And the devil's using the same old trick today, isn't he?
Yeah, yes, he is. I would have to agree. Very good summary there, Styles. And that's what I look at. You can have those moral failures. You could still do great things, but yet have those hidden moral failures. Maybe hidden to some, but they're not hidden to God. And as you mentioned, Pastor, the thing that I thought about in that was like King David, the apple of God's eye, and yet he takes Bathsheba, and you know he does what he does. And what we have to remember is that we do serve a just God. God can forgive, but God is still going to deal with that sin. That's why it's so important to repent. It's so important to be guarded in many areas. And I know that men, as they rise up, especially with influence in the kingdom of God, they really, really have to watch. I'm reminded of Billy Graham and how his, basically, the security team, they would have to watch out when he was going into, say, in hotels. They would have to go into the hotels and make sure that there were no women in the room trying to sneak or hide or anything and try to set him up. So this thing with MLK, again, I don't think that is beyond the scope or ability for him to have done this. On the same token, we know that the FBI has been corrupt. They are corrupt, and when they want to set somebody up, when they want to get that catch them in a compromising position, they do a lot of things. And this is one of the things that even Jeffrey Epstein was accused of, being a Mossad agent and working with the CIA and setting even many of the politicians that we have now, setting them up, getting dirt on them, getting them in these compromising positions, and then being able to own them. So this information, as they said, they have had a lid on it for 50 years since 1977. In 2027, it's set to be released, and we'll hear more of it. But again, I don't put it beyond. And they mentioned his friend, Reverend Ralph Abernathy. So he had already had a book out on this describing some of the things that MLK was involved in. So,
yeah, I had spoken to him. I had spoken to him back when that happened, and him and Pastor Wilkins were very, very good friends. It was the two of them were together, and like I told you, Jerry told me that everything was up and up. That for the first several years there, everything was on the up and up. There was none of the women, none of the drugs, none of that, and that they said that. And you know, and I knew Jerry, and I believe him. He was a very, very dedicated man, and. Anyhow, they said, and then the communists came in. He said, when the communists came in, then King quit listening to him and Abernathy. When they brought the young women in, they snuck the young girls in there, and then King quit listening to them, and went on his way. And then I said, well, who were the communists? And he said, Jesse Jackson. He had it, and he also Abernathy told me that. King used to tell before, you know, when Jackson first showed up, King used to say to him all the time, you got to quit that lying, boy. You got to quit that lying. He said that constantly. And
Randy, you brought something up that I think is very important that we discuss, and I actually had it written down myself here too, so I'm glad you did mention it, is that we can't go off just the credibility of the FBI. I think this is a very informative clip for the first 10 minutes, but those last five, I think things fell apart when you start going by, well, we got to go by FBI testimony, and here's all the documents. We've seen firsthand how the government is not going to come out and say the government is wrong. The government is going to say the government is right, no matter what the scenario is. We saw it with the JFK files that were released. We saw it with the handful of MLK files that have been released. The government's not going to come out and say that the government killed John F. Kennedy. They're not going to say they killed MLK. They're not going to say they killed RFK. They're not going to talk about 9/11. The government's not going to say the truth when it involves the government being wrong. Now, to your point, yes, there's absolutely witness testimony from the time, and I think that's the greatest thing we have to go on. Not what's in this FBI file, and more importantly, when these files do get released, and I'm sure they'll be redacted, just like all the other ones were, they do get released, this shouldn't be the thing we're focused on. We know the good and the bad of MLK. The thing that we need to figure out is why he was taken out, and it's not the story we've been told for the past 50-some years.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell you this. I know from experience about dealing with the FBI. They're like other agencies. There were some very good people. I knew some people, very, very good people, but patriotic. But they had their insurgents in there. They within the FBI, rogue agents, a lot of them, and that's what the problem was. But here's my question for Randy. Randy, if Style was my slave and I set him free, do you think he'd come back to me?
Yeah, what do you think,
oh,
Randy?
Man, I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to answer that.
That's
oh man.
We may never know the answer to
what you have to have.
Okay, we may never know the answer to that. We'll be back right after this.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So
what do you think about, you know, the Trump? Trump is now invading the airspace over Venezuela, and he's flying planes over there, and now he's gone, and they have gone ahead and taken that one big oil tanker because it was violating the sanctions that were put upon it, and at least that's the story they're giving us. They probably think it's filled with drugs, but they didn't say that. The oil was going to Iran, which was sanctions were put against that. So anyhow, Trump is sending a message. It's got the Democrats really, really upset. And here, that the Senator Mark, what is it, Warner? Who is the senator, a part of these those six? I'm trying to think of.
Seditious Six.
Yeah, the Seditious Six. Mark, was it Mark Warner? The senator. Anyhow, he is having a nervous breakdown. He's really worried about being court-martialed, brought back and court-martialed. So all of those things happening. One of the things that's happening that is very, very bad, and is that, especially to our neighbors to the north, Canada has not been very pro-Christian. They've been very, very anti-Christian, very anti-life. And now, here, officials arrested a pastor who refuses to apologize for telling the truth and believing about lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing agenda, okay? And all I can say is these police in Canada that arrest a man who is much, much their superior, if that's where their morals are at, okay, then let me tell you, you're kind of degenerate. You're really not decent people to arrest a man of God like that. It seems that the Americans' northern neighbors is far from the freedom-loving, tolerant nation. In fact, if you have the wrong beliefs and refuse government demands that you apologize for them, you'll be in a lot of trouble. Cuffed and arrested, in fact. This is known because of the recent arrest of Pastor Derek Reimer, who refused to comply with a court order that he apologized for his own personal opinion on drag queens and lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers and their lifestyle and their choices that they have made. It goes on to say, He earlier was convicted of harassment for objecting to a drag queen event that focused on grooming children. And again, a whore judge, a whore Canadian judge, convicted the pastor for criminal harassment for protesting against the drag queen events. And so comments on social media said, shame on Canada. Canada sounds like a real, real fun place, huh? And it's embarrassing to be a Canadian nowadays. Now, this radio program broadcasts way up into Canada. I hope they're paying attention. According to a Not the Bee report, apparently jailing people who don't adopt the government's religious belief is why they do, was what they do in Calgary. Yep, the court ordered Pastor Derek Reimer to apologize for an incident where he intimidated a librarian by protesting an event at the library where men in lingerie were reading to children. Keep in mind, he had already been on a year-long house arrest, which was set to end next month when he refused to apologize. However, he breached his sentence conditions. Well, you know, a lot of us pastors here, you know, we protest that stuff. And we used to go out, I used to go and preach at the side of my parades all the time. And sometimes, you know, we would do it at the risk in these liberal cities of being arrested. But we were really ready to fight. I mean, we were really, really, really ready to fight. According to the report, Reimer explained, I went into my freedom of conscience in a thorough study and my understanding of it and mixed the freedom of my expression and religion and explained and constituted that you have to express to the court your deeply held religious views of why it's a violation of your conscience and why you can't do it. I kept going, and she got up and left her own courtroom, and the whole gallery of supporters erupted in applause. That means the judge was okay. The report noted Reimer had explained his own probation officer, Santander Parma, was biased after the court ordered, suddenly confessed, was working to break down Reimer's beliefs and supplement them with government ideologies. He goes on to say, no more. That's it. I'm not going to say. Anyhow, so what do you guys think of that?
Just jumping back real quick, Pastor, there's two signatures with this seditious six. The one was Mark Kelly.
Mark Kelly, that's who I was thinking about. He is a retired officer, military officer. And because he's retired, because he's receiving a pension, you know, any officer that's receiving a pension, they can call up. They can call him back. And because of that, they're looking into doing just that, okay, because what he's doing is a very, very dangerous thing to try to, you know, he caused this dissension amongst the troops. And this is, you know, again, what are they called? They're
the seditious six. It looks like at least four of them were in the military. You got Representative Jason Crow; he was an Army veteran, and then you got Representative Chris DeLuzio, I believe it is. He's a Navy veteran. And then you have Chrissy Houlihan, representative, and that was Air Force veteran. So at least four or five of those were actually in the military.
Yeah, but they were not. They were retired, and they were not getting a pension. And so, as long as they were not getting a pension from the military, then they can't be recalled. But Warner can be recalled, and I think he's going to be. I think they're going to maybe use an example out of him and play hardball. Yeah. So, peer review process confirms validity of stunning study on transgender treatments. Another scientific study published at the direction of President Donald Trump is breaking ground because now it's been peer-reviewed, and the potential critics are unable to find anything at all significant to criticize in the results that found there is zero medical evidence to support the agenda of putting chemicals in children or offering them body-mutilating surgeries where they claim to be transgender. In other words, there is no logical reasons at all. In a report from the New York Post, it was confirmed that the study done by the Department of Health and Human Services after Trump issued an executive order that charged U.S. doctors with maiming teens with such treatment was found to be, by experts, to have no significant failings or errors. They were nearly a dozen critics who took on the job of commenting on the study, finding that none was able to identify deficiency. In other words, that's exactly what Trump accused them of doing, is what they were doing. And so, here he goes on. They were given a chance to show mistakes, show errors, and they were not able to identify. Dr. Leor Sapir, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and one of the project researchers, confirmed in comments to the Post, they had some minor comments here and there, but nothing that gets to the main findings about evidence and ethics. Sepper pointed out that includes a former president of the Endocrine Society group, which had been chief proponent for the radical treatment of children. Excuse me. When the report was first released by Trump last summer, it charged that gender-affirming treatment must be brought to an end. Very good, finally. And, here, Big Fanny, not only did Big Fanny lose her job, Big Fanny Willis, but she, they're looking to go after her and possibly bring her up on charges. An organization that advocates for judicial integrity in charging that a Georgia prosecutor who orchestrated part of the Democratic lawfare agenda against President Trump belongs in jail. The comments concern Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Big Fanny Willis, a Democrat who hired her paramour with tax funding to organize a long list of organizing crimes and charges against President Trump and more than a dozen other people. So she charged all these other people with crimes that they never committed. Now all of these people want her charged because she did commit a crime. What she did was a crime. The case recently was thrown out by a judge who ruled it actually isn't against the law to challenge an election result. Now, Mike Davis, founder and president of the Article 3 Project, released a comment about Willis in Fulton County. D.A. Fannie Willis must face accountability for her clear corruption and unlawful weaponization of her office against President Trump and his supporters, he said. She severely harmed a lot of people, good people, and with her bogus prosecutions for non-crime of objecting to the presidential election, which is allowed by the Electoral Count Act of 1887 in the First Amendment. So, you know, the thing of it is, it's not vengeance. I'm not, wanting to go after for vengeance. It's that the Democrats, you keep letting them get in the way with this, they're going to keep doing it. And so the Republicans have always said, well, we're not going to reduce ourselves to their tactics. You guys have become weak, and you really
right.
The people are really fed up. We really want to see some action. We really want to see some justice.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow. What do you think about all that?
I don't think they, some of the Republicans really understand the resolve of the Democrats to come after them. I mean, they're going for blood, and they're going for broke, And like I said, this is right now, this is really, really evil versus good right now. And if they don't do what they need to do, and the Democrats get the House, I do believe, I think you mentioned it earlier, they truly plan to impeach Trump and go after, again, his supporters. And it'll be like it'll be almost like he's a lame duck for the last 2 years. Won't be able to hardly get anything done.
Well, so, first of all, we cannot let him get the Congress back. If the Republicans allow that, they don't deserve any freedom at all. If they sit back and act like they've done in the past, I mean, if they don't get it, you know, if this is not a wake-up call, then they don't deserve any freedom. And I'm going to shame on the first one that tells me that they're not going to vote in the midterms. And so
I believe the rally that you were watching, was that in PA? Wasn't that the was that the affordability?
Yeah, the affordability rally. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they have been highlighting, where people are really upset and where Trump is losing support. So I think that type of a rally, he will really have to get back out there, because that was effective before. And, you know, within this next year here, really push that. And I believe they appointed somebody, I forget the exact name of it, but almost like a czar or something like that for this affordability. Well, they'll be kind of heading that up.
Randy, you know what time it is, don't you? It's time for you to tell them how we can get to heaven.
Okay, all right. well, listen, whoever you are, this is one of the greatest times of the year, this Christmas season. And I know for some people, it can bring thoughts of a lot of pain because of perhaps loved ones that have gone on or whatnot. And I'm one of those. I lost my mom actually in December 5th, some years ago. But nevertheless, it is still one of the greatest times of the year. And I just want to read this to you, why it's one of the greatest times of the year and how you can benefit. The Bible talks about that there were shepherds that were in the field, and the angels appeared to them. And it says this in the book of Luke. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And I want to say to you, this is confirmation to anyone that may be doubting. Heaven opened up, and a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel that was bringing the announcement were there praising God, giving glory to God, and making the announcement that Jesus Christ was born. And it says to men, anyone that is going through, anyone that is feeling something, he said, "And I bring unto you again good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And then lastly, he said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth toward men." So I want to say to you that this is the season. There's a song we sing, many people may know it, but it says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let heaven and earth receive her King." And then it says, there's a line in there, and it says, "Let every heart prepare him room." And so we want to say to you that Jesus, he stands at the door and he's knocking according to Revelation. And if any man would open up his heart and allow him to come in, he would sup with him and make his abode there. You have a free, you have a free will choice with God. God does not force us to do anything. God gives us free will. And so we want to say to you tonight, if you would but open your heart and let Jesus come in, he can save you from your sins. For with the mouth confession is made, and man believes unto righteousness in his heart. And so if that is you tonight, and you say, you know what, I want to receive that gift. I do believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, on this earth to die for my sins. There must be atonement for sin, and you can't atone for your own sins. Only that divine heavenly blood, that innocent blood that was shed on Calvary, can cover your sins. So if that's you tonight, if you want to pray a quick prayer with me, let's go to the throne. Father God, we come to you, Lord God. You know those that are listening from coast to coast, Lord God. That one, that two, whoever it is, Lord God, that is saying, I want to allow that gift, Jesus Christ, the Savior, to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. I am inviting you and asking you, Jesus, to take away my sins, to come into my heart, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. Allow my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that when I die and I depart this earth, I will be with you, Father God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, you can rest assured that the heavenly host is rejoicing over one sinner that turns from their sin and repents. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty. Well, why did you say that prayer?
Because God hears our prayers. He's near to the brokenhearted, the contrite spirit, and those that call on him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. All righty. Well, that's exactly right. And you said that prayer because you believe it, and I believe it. And why do we believe it? Well, we believe it because God has said it, and God who cannot lie. And there's nothing as sure in this world as the Word of God. It's the most sure thing that exists. In fact, heaven and earth will pass, but God's Word will never, ever pass away. And so,
That's right. And so,
folks out there, this is why we do it. We believe it. We know it. There's no doubt at all. And that's what you need to do. You need to do the most important thing that you'll ever do, and that's call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Don't run out of tomorrows tonight. How much time do I have? Okay, so we're coming up to that time where we come to every night. I want to say thank you to all the folks out there that have supported us over the years, and we come into this season. And then just remember that Jesus is the reason for this season, more than ever. And again, I want to thank all of you folks out there. And then, as we do every night at this time, we say, God bless.
We say,
good night.
Good night.
And then we always say, and always. And then we say, keep fighting the
fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.